A number of years ago, I was at a conference, and there was a guest speaker there who was talking about the importance of missions and evangelism. And just to clarify, evangelism refers to sharing about Jesus so that some people might become Christians. And missions usually involves evangelism as well as helping people in need, and that's typically done in a foreign place where people have not yet heard about Jesus. So this conference speaker said some things that were inspiring, but he also said some things that sounded a little off. He was basically pressuring the audience to commit to lifelong missions overseas. Now, certainly God calls some people to international missions, but God gives a unique calling to everyone. We can each serve God in different ways. But this guest speaker was giving the impression that everyone should feel guilty if they don't become missionaries, almost as if there's blood on our hands. And then at the end of his message, he asked people to stand up if they would commit to becoming missionaries. And at that moment, the room was dead silent. No response. But the speaker wouldn't give up. He kept pushing and pressuring until finally one person stood up. Whether from experiences like this or something else, Christians sometimes feel pressured to evangelize or guilty if we aren't doing enough to share the gospel. There can be this faulty belief that it all depends on human initiative, that we are ultimately responsible for bringing others to faith. On the other hand, sometimes we avoid the topic of evangelism to ensure that no one feels pressured, no one feels guilty, and therefore we neglect the mission that God gave to the church. How do we neither neglect evangelism nor do it out of guilt or pressure? Let's find out. I invite you to listen to this story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Before exploring this passage, let's pray. Living God, we thank you for this story in your Holy Scripture. We ask that you would speak through it to us today. Help us to hear what you would have to say to us, and give us courage through your Spirit that we may respond in faith. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. From this story, we see that in evangelism, God takes the initiative and we respond. Let's begin by looking at three aspects of God's initiative. God is sovereign, God's grace goes ahead, and God guides his people. Let's explore each of these. First, God is sovereign. That's a word you probably don't use every day. What does sovereign mean? The sovereignty of God refers to the fact that God is king of the universe. God is the ultimate ruler. God is in control. However, God isn't controlling everything like a puppet master. It's not that we have strings attached to us and God pulls on us to move us whichever way he wants us to go. We aren't robots that God controls mechanically. While God is ultimately in control, he also gives us free will. We get to make choices. These two realities, our free will and God's sovereignty, have often been put at odds with each other as one over the other, but they are simultaneous realities. Ultimately, this is a mystery beyond our full comprehension, but we can have some limited understanding of how God's sovereignty and our free will work together. Consider the following. God created the universe. God knows the intricate details of everything that exists. God created you at a certain time, in a certain place, in a certain family. He did the same with every other person who has ever existed. God has made you in a certain way and has been pursuing a relationship with you since before you were born. He has been speaking to you, providing for you, blessing you, and inviting you to life with him. He has done the same with everyone else, whether they realize it or not. That's all part of God's sovereignty. And within this, there's free will. You have had opportunities to turn towards God or to turn away from God. You have had so many decisions to make in your life, and no matter what you've decided, whether you've listened to God's guidance or you've simply just done whatever you want to do, no matter what you decide, God continued to pursue you, continued to seek to guide you, to bless you, and to call you to do his will. Even when you make poor decisions, God is capable of weaving that into a bigger story in your life. So it's less like puppets or robots. It's more like we're dancing with God. And the more responsive we are to God's lead, the more beautiful the dance. In the story of Philip and the Ethiopian, we see glimpses of God's sovereignty. God knew that the Ethiopian would be at a certain place at a certain time. God knew that the Ethiopian would be reading a passage of scripture that pointed to Jesus. God knew that this Ethiopian was ready to hear about Jesus. God's hand was in it all. So God sent Philip to go down a desert road. Philip didn't know the whole plan, and God didn't force him to go, but Philip responded to God's invitation. This is part of the way that God's sovereignty works. God knows. God speaks. God invites. God stirs in our hearts. All the while, we have the freedom to say no. We can choose to plug our ears, to not listen to God, can choose to go the opposite direction from where he's sending us. But when we trust God enough to follow his sovereign plan, we are often amazed at what he does. God knows what's going on in the lives of people you know, and in the lives of people that you might meet along the way. God might prompt you to do something or to say something at a certain time. You might not know why, but if you trust God and follow His lead, you might experience something like what Philip experienced with this Ethiopian. There could be this God-ordained moment of sharing good news with someone who's ready to hear it. So one aspect of God's initiative is that God is sovereign. The second aspect of God's initiative is that God's grace goes ahead. Sometimes we might mistakenly believe that if someone isn't a Christian, they have no experience of God in their life. But the truth is that God is pursuing all people all the time. Everyone on earth has had experiences of God, even if they don't realize it yet. The Ethiopian eunuch in this story had come to Jerusalem to worship, so presumably he already had some belief in the God of Abraham, the God of Moses. In the ancient world, it wasn't only the Israelites who followed the living God. Sometimes people from other countries heard about God or had a personal experience with God, the God of Israel, and decided to worship God. The Ethiopian knew about God, but he had not yet heard the good news about Jesus, that God sent His only Son to die for the sin of the world, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. However, God was at work in the life of this Ethiopian ahead of time. God saw him. God drew him to Jerusalem at this specific time so he could hear about Jesus. God guided him to open the scroll of Isaiah to this passage that pointed to Jesus. There was no coincidence in all this. God's grace went ahead, preparing the way for this moment when he would hear the good news about Jesus. Similarly, God is already working in the lives of people who do not yet know him. He is pursuing them. Some people might have had experienced a lot of negativity at home, but God opens a door for something new in their life. Maybe it's a sports team, or a youth group, or a summer camp, or somewhere else that they start to experience some positivity. There are all kinds of ways that God is at work graciously drawing people to himself, even if they don't know it yet. He's preparing the way. For me, it was through music. I've always loved music, and God used that to pursue me when I was a teenager. Even though I grew up in a Christian home, I wasn't very serious about faith. I had other priorities. There were other things I wanted to do with my time. And I wanted to fit in at school, fit in with the crowd. But God used my love for music to get me involved in the youth band at church. I knew how to play the electric guitar, and the band needed a guitarist, so they asked me to join. While I was in the band, God surrounded me with peers and mentors who loved Jesus and who cared about me. As I spent time in the worship band and experienced more of the love of God, I began to change. I started to care less about fitting in and doing my own thing. Instead, I wanted to give my life to Jesus. God drew me to himself through music. And God can draw others to himself in a million different ways. People can come to faith through sports. And I know of skateboard ministries and basketball ministries that are reaching youth that would never step through the doors at church otherwise. There are all kinds of other things people love that could be an outlet for encountering God, such as art, outdoor adventures, stories, science, and simply friendship. For others, it might be a painful experience that opens the door to a relationship with God. Sickness or injury, the death of a loved one, a major failure. I was talking to someone the other day who has been involved in prison ministry. He and some friends would visit prisoners They would read scripture and pray with them. Prison can be a place where people meet God. There is no place where God is not pursuing people. God loves the whole world. We see God taking initiative in pursuing people because God is sovereign and God's grace goes ahead. Thirdly, God guides his people. God sends Philip to a strange place. He sends him to a desert road. That would feel like the middle of nowhere. It might feel somewhat like God telling you to walk down Zero Avenue towards Abbotsford, where there's nothing but farms and very little traffic along the way. I'm not sure if you even know the road I'm talking about. It just kind of goes along the border, but not many people go down there. If God told me to do that, I would be like, why? There's nothing there. Why waste my time going to the middle of nowhere? But God knew that it was not nowhere that he was asking Philip to go. It was somewhere. It was a special somewhere where someone will be. And this someone has something that he needed to hear. God sends Philip to this strange place, and he ensures that Philip arrives at the right time to encounter this Ethiopian. And once Philip gets there, God gives him further guidance. He instructs Philip to approach the chariot and stay near it. Presumably, God guides the whole conversation. I find it notable that verse 35 says, Philip opened his mouth. Why does it say that? I mentioned in a previous sermon that I have had experiences when I didn't know what to say, but I knew that God was calling me to speak. So with a leap of faith, I opened my mouth and began speaking before I fully knew what I was going to say. I trusted that God would give me the words. It seems like that's what's happening for Philip in this story. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this passage of scripture the Ethiopian was reading, he told him the good news about Jesus. God was at work in the Ethiopian's heart during the conversation. He came to faith and wanted to be baptized immediately. God was in it all from start to finish. It's not that Philip had no role to play, but it was not all on his shoulders. Philip neither neglected evangelism nor did it out of pressure or guilt, as if it all depended on him. Philip participated in what God was doing in the life of this Ethiopian. And that is what we are invited to do, participate. In evangelism, God takes the initiative and we respond. So how do we respond? First, we listen. We pay attention to what God says to us. You'll probably have times when the thought comes to mind that you should reach out to someone. You might have this strange sense that you should call or text a certain friend. Or maybe it feels like God is inviting you to go talk to someone that you haven't met before. Pay attention to those promptings of the Holy Spirit. There's a good chance you'll have no idea why you're being led this way at first, but God might be inviting you to participate in what he is already doing in that person's life. So first, we listen. Second, we go. Whether God sends us far or near, we respond faithfully by going where he sends us. I believe God still sends some people to far-off countries to unreached people groups who have never heard about Jesus. However, God seems to send most of us to share good news where we already are. Philip traveled a little bit to share good news with this Ethiopian, but he didn't go that far. He certainly didn't go all the way to Ethiopia. God gave him a huge head start in spreading the gospel to this distant nation by bringing this Ethiopian to Israel. And God is doing the same for us, bringing the nations to our own backyard. Chances are you have friends and neighbors from other countries. And you have this opportunity now. God has brought people here. God has brought people into our lives. The question is, will we go? Will we go to the people that God has already sent to us? We can respond to God's initiative by listening to God's guidance and by going where God sends us, even if it's just next door. And the last part of responding to God's initiative is that we share. Like how Philip opened his mouth, we too are called to open our mouths sometimes. If we keep our mouths shut, someone might miss out on hearing the life-changing news about Jesus. As Paul says in Romans 10, 14 to 15, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? While God is the one who takes initiative in drawing people to faith, we do have a role to play. There are moments when God sends us to speak. So I pray that you will have courage to open your mouth when God gives you an opportune moment like Philip had with the Ethiopian. Someone I know named Peter told me recently about a moment like that. In Peter's small group, they just so happened to be planning to share their testimony in the coming weeks. And even though there was no rush to get his testimony ready for a small group, Peter felt this strong conviction that he had to get it ready immediately. But he didn't know why. The next day, one of Peter's coworkers sat down with him and said, "Peter, I know that you're a Christian and I've been paying attention to the way that you live. Tell me, why do you believe in Jesus?" That had never happened before for Peter. Peter was amazed. Just the night before, he had this strong conviction to diligently prepare his testimony, having no idea why. But here, it became obvious. God was sending him to open his mouth, to share about Jesus with this colleague. Afterwards, Peter remembered that God had previously placed that coworker on his heart. Peter had been praying for him in his small group because this coworker was going through a really hard time in life. He was going through a divorce. Peter hadn't been thinking about sharing the gospel with his coworker, but simply praying that God would be at work in his life. However, God provided an opportunity for Peter to participate in what God was doing in this man's life. God is already working, drawing people to himself. It would be good for us to pray for people we know and people who do not yet know Jesus. And chances are that God will invite us to be part of the answer to prayer. God might invite us to share good news about God's love and about the new life available through Jesus Christ. In evangelism, God takes the initiative and we respond. Let's pray. Living God, we thank you for the innumerable ways that you are at work in the lives of people we know, in the lives of people we might meet along the way. We have no idea what you're doing. We can only see the surface level of people's lives, but Lord, you are pursuing them. You are blessing them. You are drawing them to yourself. And Lord, we give you permission to invite us to participate. Help us to listen, help us to go, and help us to share. May we open our mouths and share good news to those who need to hear about Jesus. Lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.